Well, hello there, and welcome back to another episode of People Pleaser. That's right, from not a Blanket Fort recording studio in not a one-bedroom apartment in not North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser, and I'm Austin Archer, and today we are talking about cults of deception, Zionism and Trumpism primarily, but we're going to get into all the various cults of deception that exist. Not all of them, but many of the most prominent ones. I'm in Utah working, as I often am. I'm working on a few different shows. If you're in the Salt Lake area and you're looking for something fun to do this summer, I wrote a show at the Salt Lake Acting Company called The Secret Lives of the Real Wives of the In the Salt Lake Hive. I don't know the name of my own show. Secret Lives of the Real Wives in the Salt Lake Hive. It's a spoof about all of the Utah-based reality shows going on in the world and how there's this kind of like big moment happening in reality television with all of these Utah-based shows. I feel like the larger world is curious about this idiosyncratic, weird Utah culture that I was raised in. And then I choreographed a production of Jesus Christ Superstar up at the Ziegfeld Theater in Ogden. So if you're in Ogden or you want to travel up to Ogden, also that show's going to Park City to the Egyptian Theater if you want to watch it there. A lot of people who follow me on social media don't know that I'm a choreographer, but I am. That's a thing. I have a video coming out soon about the algorithm where I yap about that, where I talk about the fact that I'm like, yeah, the stuff that I'm the most proud of, like the work that I think is my best work, my directing and choreography work, nobody knows that it exists. And it's because of the algorithm. Like the algorithm makes that decision. But yeah, if you're seeing this, then I guess, you know, and you're around in Utah, that's what I'm doing here. Also, I, have a movie that I wrote that's in pre-production and the production office is here. And so I've just been a busy boy. That's why there haven't been new episodes of the podcast. But we're here today. It's a Sunday as I'm recording this. So we're going to do a little Sunday sermon. What do I mean? Cults of deception. Obviously, Trumpism is a cult, right? People like to call it a cult of personality. A cult of personality is a cult that is based around kind of a charismatic figurehead. It's like we all, you know, base our lives around the persona or personality of the charismatic leader, the Keith Raniere, the Mother God, the Donald J. Trump of it all. And Trumpism absolutely fits the criteria definitionally for a cult of personality. But I was kind of thinking the other day, like, it's a church of lies, right? It's a cathedral, it's a religion of lies. You have to be foundationally, in order to be a member of the Trump cult, you have to be a liar. You cannot tell the truth, be a person who deals in honesty and truth-telling, and be a member in good standing of that cult. It is fundamentally a cult of deception. And I think that goes through, like, I think that is actually underneath everything. I think that goes deeper than the cult of personality. I think that even goes deeper than delusion. I was almost going to call it cult of delusion to talk about the delusional worldview of these people, but even in delusion, underneath delusion is deception. To be delusional requires a level of self-deception. You are deceiving yourself into having a delusional view of reality. So even if you're believing the bullshit that you're telling yourself, even if you've convinced yourself to believe the lies that you're telling yourself, you're still fundamentally lying to yourself to create that delusional worldview. It is fundamentally a cult that requires you to be dishonest. And the examples of this are just kind of endless. I tried to make a list and I was like, boy, I could just keep doing this list forever. We'll try to go down the list and do some examples. Like the first thing I thought of was just like, you know, fundamentally the cult requires you to pretend that Donald Trump is cool. I'm allowed to just be like, yeah, Joe Biden's like old and not very cool. And when Joe Biden like does stuff, like he's like walking up the stairs and he trips or something, I'm like, yeah, guy's old. And he's like also probably sundowning sometimes. And like, I don't think he should have been the candidate in 2020. I did my job and I voted for him. I repudiated Trumpism. I did my job, but I being a progressive does not require me to lie and pretend that, you know, Joe Biden at 80 or 82 years old is like this really suave, cool guy. Donald Trump right now has new media conservative journalists that are in the White House press room, you know, doing this like weird North Korea routine where they're like,
will you guys also consider releasing the president's fitness plan? He actually looks healthier than ever before, healthier than he did 8 years ago. And I'm sure everybody in this room could agree. Is he working out with Bobby Kennedy? And is he eating less McDonald's?
I can confirm the president is in very good shape, as you see on a near daily basis here.
Ridiculous. Insane. Just like, completely unnecessary too. Like you don't even need to say like, the president looks unhealthy. The president looks physically unhealthy. Should we be worried? You don't even need to say that. You don't need to say anything. But to go in there and be like, the president's mad fuckable at 78. He's really hot. And I think everyone could agree. I think everyone agrees with that.
I'm sure everybody in this room could agree.
The weird thing about these cults of deception that we're kind of exploring is that they tell lies that are really easy to prove that they're lies. They do it all the time. They just say things that it's like, you know, we can go get data on that, like right now. Like, I just watched a video on TikTok from Keep Troy Blue, one of my favorite accounts, and it was some conservative guy being like,
am I the only one that noticed that not one single Democrat gave thanks to the fallen soldiers on Memorial Day? I saw support for George Floyd. I saw support for Africa Day. I saw a major hate on active soldiers and veterans, but I did not see one Democrat thanking the men and women who died for our country.
You know, I can just name search any Democrat politician on X or Threads, and I will most likely find what they said on Memorial Day, right? Like, you know I can do that, right? And so easily, Troy was like,
hey, here's Biden on Memorial Day. Let us pause to remember and honor the brave women and men who made the ultimate sacrifice so we could live our lives in peace and possibility. Barack Obama, on Memorial Day, we remember the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform and their families have made to preserve our freedom. Chuck Schumer, on Memorial Day and every day, we remember our brave service members. Nancy Pelosi, on Memorial Day, we honor the many selfless heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice. Hakeem Jeffries, we honor all those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, on Memorial Day, we honor the brave Americans who gave their lives in service to our nation.
Like, what are you doing publicly being like, no Democrats said anything about the soldiers? And then the even crazier part is that when you read Donald Trump's Memorial Day message, he actually does not mention the soldiers. It's so insane to go on the internet and be like, no Democrats talked about soldiers on Memorial Day, when all of them did, and your guy did not. Like, the exact opposite of what you're claiming is true, and it's not even a hard thing to demonstrably prove. What is the goal of the lie? What's the purpose of the lie? Because ultimately what these ideologies are, Trumpism, Zionism, Christianity to a certain extent, they are ends justifies the means based ideologies, right? I'm willing to employ unethical or possibly immoral or even like downright evil means to justify a certain endpoint. There's an end game in mind that I'm trying to get to. There's a goal I'm trying to get to. And there's no amount of like underhanded, sniveling weaselry that I won't stoop to in order to get to my desired outcome. There are definitely people in this movement. The president is one of the chief ones amongst them. There's, you know, people like talking heads like Ben Shapiro and, you know, Brett Cooper was on the news recently with Lara Trump saying that Republicans are cool again, going on the news and being like, Lara Trump literally asked her,
is it cool now to be a Republican?
Oh, for sure. It's incredibly cool in my opinion. It's so crazy. Even just being here in Nashville, a couple of years ago, I still felt iffy about like wearing a MAGA hat out. Now it's like totally cool.
Wow.
It's normal.
There are these people who know that they're lying. And even to a certain extent, this guy that Troy was responding to, who was like, no Democrats mentioned the soldiers. I got to imagine he knows that's a lie. There's no way that you made that video without checking. Like, did any Democrats? Could I easily be proven wrong when I said this? But that's the thing is, like, you get so used to being a member of a cult of deception that you don't really care whether or not the thing that you're saying is true, whether or not someone can prove it wrong. That's not really the point. Like, lying is as easy as breathing. It's as like, you lie with almost every word that you speak. So you're so used to it and so desensitized to it that it doesn't really even faze you to be like, it's like, you know, Ray Ray going on the internet and being like,
I'm a big enough creator now to where I know you guys are going to see these kinds of videos. There's not one specific liberal creator that I wouldn't spar with. Good Trouble, Dean, Parker, Harry, Chris, anybody, any of y'all.
And then obviously when people came out out of the woodwork to say, I'll fight you, Ray Ray. He said, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant people in my weight class. And then when people in his weight class said, cool, I'll fight you, Ray Ray, he was like, no, I mean people with like a good enough following that there would be like an event for it. And it's like, cool, that's not what you said, but like, sure, okay. And then people still said, I'll do it, Ray Ray. And he just started blocking people en masse and backpedaling and backpedaling. But like, why go on the internet and say something like, I'll fight any liberal kind? Why make a claim like that? It frustrates the enemy. It confuses the enemy. It is confusing to watch a person get on the internet and say something that you're like, you know that, you know we can, that's just such an easy thing to fact check. When Donald Trump on a debate stage says they're eating cats and dogs in Springfield, the fact that like there's no concern at all of like, is this going to make me look like an idiot? Are people going to easily fact check this and make me look like an idiot? No, he's the president of a cult of deception. It's what his followers expect. They don't expect him to get into a presidential debate and tell the truth. They expect him to go on stage and tell outlandish lies. Because a foundational principle of their cult is we lie to achieve our goals. There is an end goal in mind that we are trying to achieve, and we lie to achieve it. You're lying to the enemy, or you're just lying to other people in your team when it comes to other people. Because sometimes there are other people on your team who aren't as educated as you might be, and you're banking on that. So when a talking head like Matt Walsh or Ben Shapiro goes on their podcast and repeats a lie to their audience that they know is a lie, they're counting on the less educated people in their audience just taking their word for it. You know, when Tucker Carlson goes on the news and lies, like, we have proof. You know, Tucker Carlson in the Dominion lawsuit had text messages where he's just openly talking about lying to his audience and how that's just like a thing that he regularly does and how he's been, you know, justifying it for years because, for a lot of these people, for Ben Shapiro, for Matt Walsh, for Tucker Carlson, it's their bottom line. It's how they pay the bills. It's how they feed their families. That's their job at this point. That's what they do. And that's how they justify it. What they're hoping is that the people in their audience who aren't going to look stuff up, we'll just take their word for it when they repeat these lies. When they just sort of throw out random bullshit statistics, they're just hoping like these people will just take my word for it. And that does serve the overall ideological goal of just like having more troops, having more followers of the cult of deception. But then, you know, what happens is when you start to show to even those people, like the dumb little cogs in the cult, that these things are demonstrably lies, they get the message loud and clear to them is, oh, cool. So that's how we operate. That's the tools of our operation is willful deception and then pretending like you didn't lie and just moving on. Recently, Donald Trump claimed that he won the youth vote in the most recent election by 37%.
I won the young people by 37%. No Republicans ever won. And I won by 37%.
That's obviously not what happened. Again, that's a lie that's like, well, that sounds crazy. Like winning the youth demographic overall, men and women, the entire youth vote by a margin of 37% in any election is insane. That's a crazy margin to win by, because we're talking about all ethnicities, all religions, all ideologies, all different manner of youths. The youth vote is always much closer than that for anyone who actually studies like, you know, electoral statistics. There's never a 37% gap between two candidates. Most likely what happened is he saw that when he ran against Biden in 2020, he only got 37% of the youth vote. And then that jumped up to about 46% overall against Harris. He still lost the youth vote to Harris. He won with young men, specifically young white men. And a lot of people are really concerned about that, about the fact that like he really dominated with young white men. But overall, the youth vote, he still lost 46 to 52. So it was still like, no, you didn't, dude. You didn't win the youth vote by 37%. What happened is some staffer mentioned to you that you went from 37% up to 46, and the number 37 stuck in your head, and you thought, I won by 37. But then there's no thought, should I fact check this? Should I double check before I go on TV and repeat this? And there's certainly not going to be a retraction of like, I misspoke. you know? I'm sorry that I heard the number 37 because I was up from 30. That's not what I meant. I misspoke. He's not going to do that ever, because that's, you know, again, a core principle of this cult is like, you lie, and you, part of lying is never admitting that you're a liar. That's part of being a liar. Part of being a liar is lying and saying, no, I'm not. Even though, like, it's very obvious to prove that, yes, you are. Recently, there was this podcast with Pearl and, oh, what's her name? Pearl and I don't even give a shit about their names, to be honest. These two conservative women that are very popular, what they're known for is they go on the internet and they talk about why women shouldn't have rights, why women shouldn't be allowed to vote, why women should you know their place, why women should embrace traditional gender roles and just get married and just be in the kitchen and have kids.
I don't think women should vote. I don't. And I'll tell you why.
I would happily give up my vote. What do I even care anymore? Right.
Do you know why? It's because if we took away the women that just don't pay taxes or on benefits, like if we only made it like people that pay taxes don't have any debt.
So like more productive people.
Yeah,
in society.
It would just pretty. There'd be like me and you left.
Yeah.
Both of these women are breadwinners, and you know, Pearl's not even married. And people bring this up all the time when she's on podcasts, like debating. They're like, "Yeah, you talk a lot about you know getting into a traditional marriage and being a submissive wife." A, nobody's marrying you. You're not married, Pearl. B, you're an independent woman who makes your own money and has your own business and has your own platform. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's so crazy that these conservative women go on the internet, go on their podcast, and they're like, we shouldn't be allowed to vote. We shouldn't be allowed to have rights. And they use their freedoms, their rights, their independence that was gained for them by their pioneer sisters, their pioneer feminist sisters. They use that freedom, that access to platforms, that access to, you know, free speech and to be taken seriously. They use what has been earned for them by the feminists that came before them to say, we shouldn't have this stuff. And I've heard a lot of people respond to them and just go, well, then don't fucking vote. Like, if you don't think women should vote, by all means, don't fucking vote. And they're just saying this as though it's a known fact that most women in the United States don't pay taxes because they're just housewives. They don't have any income. They just live off of their husband's income. And if they don't live off their husband's income, they live off of government subsidies. They have government subsidized income. And at one point, I think Pearl makes a joke where she's like, if we took away all the women who are living off of their husbands or off of government subsidies, it would just be the two of us left. And they both like laugh hysterically. They're like, that's so true.
If we took away the women that just don't pay taxes or on benefits, like if we only made it like people that pay taxes don't have any debt.
So like more productive people.
Yeah, it would just pretty, there'd be like me and you left.
Yeah.
What an insane worldview you have. What a delusional, insane, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's not true. That's not true at all. It's so easy for us to just pull up statistics and be like, oh no, there are tens of millions of women in the workforce. There are tens of millions of women who are the sole breadwinner for their household. There are tens of millions of women who are the primary breadwinner for their household. What the fuck are you talking about? And I get that it's a joke and she's being hyperbolic and she's exaggerating and she's saying like, yeah, we get rid of all the women who are living off their husbands and it's just the two of us left. I get that it's an exaggeration, but it's such an insane exaggeration. The erasure of tens of millions of women, not to mention the fact that like people who are in an arrangement in a partnership where they have agreed upon with their partner that one of us is going to make money and one of us is going to look over the kids and look over the household. It's ridiculous to say those people, you know, aren't contributing meaningfully, therefore they shouldn't get a vote, that they're freeloaders or something. They have an agreed upon arrangement. One person in the partnership has agreed to be the person who goes to work and makes money, and one person in the partnership has agreed to be the person who takes care of the house so that the person making money doesn't have to worry about that stuff. It doesn't mean that one person's a freeloader and the other person is a hard worker who deserves to have a say in society. They have a privately agreed upon arrangement. it's so weird to watch because I genuinely can't tell if they're the kind of person who's knowingly lying to their audience or if they're lying to themselves. That's the other person that I didn't get around to when we asked the question, who are you lying to? Is a lot of times it's just, I'm lying to myself. I need to believe this in order to press forward in the ideology that I've decided to join. In order to remain a member in good standing, I need to delude myself. I need to deceive myself and lie to myself about the world around me. And again, just saying stuff that it's like, you know, easily we can disprove you, right? But I guess the hope is that there are people listening to the podcast who go, good point, ladies. Yeah, I guess that's kind of true. They're hoping that there's like a housewife out there, a conservative housewife, listening to their podcast and going, that's true. I don't do anything. I just sit around and freeload off of my husband's money and I shouldn't be allowed to vote. Again, like, what is the end game of that? Because when you actually play it all the way out, it's like, even the goals of conservatism, if it were to have its way, is like, it's a worse situation for all of these people. The end game that they're trying to achieve is like, that's not good for you. That's not good for anybody. That's good for like maybe a very, very, very small handful of people, and you're not one of them. You're not in that club. What are you doing? Since deception is in everything, there's also this self-deception of like, well, right now, business is good. Right now, being part of the cult of deception pays my bills. Recently, Joni Ernst went viral for responding to one of her constituents who was asking, this is a Republican who was at a town hall, and one of her constituents was asking about why Republicans are making massive cuts to Medicaid and saying, people are going to die as a direct result of this legislation and this policy. And her response was, well, we're all going to die. What a fucking insane thing to say. What a crazy thing to say publicly, to just be like, well, my answer to why I'm willing to let people die from preventable illnesses is because we're all going to die. We're all, you know, my answer to like, why am I not doing more to fight climate change is like, we're all going to die. My answer to like, why, you know, why are we not doing more to like deal with nuclear proliferation and the existential threat posed by that? We're all gonna die. You think you're not gonna die? You're gonna die. And then even crazier somehow, Joni Ernst made an apology video.
I would like to take this opportunity to sincerely apologize for a statement that I made yesterday at my town hall. See, I was in the process of answering a question that had been asked by an audience member when a woman who was extremely distraught screamed out from the back corner of the auditorium, people are going to die. And I made an incorrect assumption that everyone in the auditorium understood that, yes, we are all going to perish from this earth. So I apologize. And I'm really, really glad that I did not have to bring up the subject of the Tooth Fairy as well. But for those that would like to see eternal and everlasting life, I encourage you to embrace my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
She doesn't apologize. She says it as though like, yeah, you idiots. I'm sorry. I guess some of you weren't aware that we're all going to die. I guess some of you still believe in the Tooth Fairy too, you fucking idiots. Like that's how crazy her apology video is. She's like, yeah, so sorry you guys didn't know that people are gonna die. Did you also know that Santa Claus isn't real, you fucking dipshits? And then she finishes her apology video by being like, but there is a way to have life everlasting, and that's in the loving embrace of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She has the nerve, the gall, to pejoratively talk about the Tooth Fairy and how it's like insane that people could believe in something like that, and then to finish her apology video by being like, but you can live forever if you believe in the fairy tale I believe in at 65 years old or whatever the fuck she is. How bafflingly, brazenly insane. Because obviously what those constituents who were yelling at her at that town hall were saying wasn't, find us the cure for death. Joni, why are you not curing death? That's not what they're saying. They're saying people are going to die unnecessarily, Joni. People who don't need to die yet are going to die from preventable illnesses because you are depriving them of basic rights and needs like healthcare. That's what they're saying, Joni, obviously. But again, she knows that. She can't be honest about it. She can't do a video where she goes, I get what they were saying. I get that they were saying, you know, people are going to die unnecessarily as a result of the legislation that I'm helping to sponsor. I get that. And here's my response. She can't deal with it honestly. She has to pretend that what these people were saying was they didn't, that these people weren't aware that everyone dies. That's what she has to go on the internet and be like, these crazy liberals, I guess they don't know that everybody dies. And that's the lie that she sells to her followers. And her followers lap it up. And they pretend to agree with that lie because everybody is just lying to themselves and lying to each other and lying to us, just going, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's good, Joni. But it's all bullshit. It's Pride Month right now. Happy Pride to the TikTok Digital Studio audience. Hello, everybody. Happy Pride to you out there. And, you know, we have with this cult of deception, we have like traditional lies at this point. Lies that every year we can count on it. We can count on every year on Christmas and during Pride Month, during the month of December and June, Republicans and conservatives are going to come out of the woodwork. They're going to be on Fox News. They're going to be on Threads. They're going to be on X. They're going to be everywhere. You're going to see them. And they're going to say, in this month, they're going to say, how come we have a whole month? Can you believe we have a whole month to celebrate people being gay, but we only have one day for our fallen soldiers and heroes? And they're going to say this while they are actively cutting funding to help vets. They're going to say this while they are actively taking away support from veterans. They're going to tell this lie. We have to have queer people like Blair White get on the internet and tell us this lie every year. I can't believe that we only have one day for veterans and a whole month for people just because they're trans, like me, Blair White. It's so stupid. Again, it's just a thing where it's like, it was just May. It's June 1st right now as I'm recording this. It was May yesterday. May is Military Appreciation Month. There are three full months to celebrate the military. There are multiple holidays. The military is acknowledged at every single sporting event in this country. Every sporting event that happens, there's a standing ovation for veterans, for the military, all the time. And the rejoinder to this lie that they tell, that there's only one day, that we only have one day, when you point out the lie, they just move on to the next lie. They go, well, how come we don't celebrate it more? We have big parades for all the gay people. Where's our parades for the veterans? There are parades. If you aren't going to them, that's your fault. If you're the person claiming that you care about vets and you're not organizing parades, organizing parties, showing up to the parades that do exist, celebrating them, that's on you, you disingenuous motherfucker. Why would you keep telling that lie? Especially if year after year, we keep pointing out that's not true. That's a lie that you're telling. Well, the reason why you would tell that lie is because you're part of a cult of deception. You're part of a religion of lies. You're part of a church, an ideology of dishonesty. And you exclusively deal in lies. And it does not bother you to exclusively deal in lies. Christmas is it's the same thing. Every year in December, there's a war on Christmas. Every year, we can't say Merry Christmas. You're not allowed to say Christmas. The government's going to come to your house and black bag you if you say Christmas. But, you know, it is the most widely recognized and loudly and obnoxiously celebrated holiday in the world. There is no close second. There is nothing that even comes close to touching the international recognition and celebration of Christmas. There's no other holiday that's anywhere even near the tier of recognition. It's such a stupid, stupid lie. You know, you've got videos every year of like Walter Masterson in Rockefeller Center walking up to conservative people and saying,
do you see one decoration? They've torn them down.
They've done it in our town, too. I'm out from Massachusetts.
I mean, do you see any signs of Christmas here?
No. Yeah. It's all gone.
Yeah.
Sad.
And they're standing in front of the famously massive, giant Rockefeller Center Christmas tree and saying, yeah, it's a darn shame. And it doesn't even faze these. He could point at the tree and go, what's that? and they could just go, oh, it's a tree. What kind of tree is it? Christmas tree. Okay, so is what you just said a lie? And they would go, no. They would, with a straight face, go, no. What I just said is the truth, because they only lie. Cities burned to the ground. That's another one of my favorite lies. I love cities burned to the ground. It's 2025, and anytime we talk about, you know, conservative, you know, domestic terrorism, the fact that, like, it's, like, overwhelmingly white Christian conservative men who carry out mass shootings in this country, and white Christian conservative men who are driving their cars through crowds of people, and conservative men who, when they do go protest for something in the streets, they always do it as Nazis, and, like, the stochastic terrorism carried out by conservative people. Whenever we talk about that, they always bring up the Black Lives Matter protest and say this line. They always go, oh yeah, who was it that was burning cities to the ground? Who was it that was burning cities to the ground during BLM? This is, I mean, again, this, it's like flat eartherism, right? Flat eartherism is another cult of deception, and it's a cult of deception that we all agree we can laugh at, right? Everyone in the world's like, oh, how silly. Because if you're going to go around saying NASA's lying to us, all of the images that we've ever gotten of around Earth are fake images, they're digitally made, and the world is actually a flat terrarium, the obvious way to establish the veracity of that claim is to just document the world's edge. To just fucking go to it. We've got people who have gone into space and taken photos of the globe Earth. You think those photos are doctored? Okay. Doctor up at least a picture of you at the world's edge. If you can't actually get there, and you are just committed to this lie that the Earth is flat, at least fucking Photoshop a convincing photo of the edge of the world and be like, there it is. I went and visited the edge of the terrarium. But these motherfuckers won't even do that. Because again, like, it's not, with cults of deception, it's not even important. And this is key. It's not even important to appear like you're telling the truth. It doesn't even matter if you can make a good case or not for the lie that you're telling. All that matters is that you commit to the lie. That's it. Flat earthers don't even bother to try to offer substantive defenses of their claim. And the most obvious one, the easiest one, would be take a camera and sail to the edge of the Earth. Go to the edge of the Earth and show me the fucking edge of the Earth. Because what I can do, I can get in a plane, I can take show my camera out the window. I can show you the curvature of the Earth with my phone right now. I could do that today. You go to the edge of the terrarium. Show me the glass wall of the terrarium, whatever the fuck you think it is, the ice wall. Show me the edge where the water runs off and then recycles through the butthole of the Earth. I don't know what you guys think, but show it to me. And that's how this one works. The burning cities to the ground one. Go there and show me an American city that used to exist but does no longer because Black Lives Matter protests burned it to the ground. And again, they'll say, oh, you know, that's not what we mean. Then don't fucking say it like that. Don't be Ray Ray and say, I'll fight any liberal content creator if you don't mean any liberal content. If what you actually mean is, I'll fight nobody. Don't say burned to the ground if you can't easily go and substantiate that claim, right? What a fucking stupid claim to make. This just happened to me like yesterday on Threads. A guy was like, oh yeah, well, I mean, what about all the times that liberals burn cities to the ground? And I said, which cities? And he said, LA, Chicago, Portland, for starters. I said, dog, I live in Los Angeles. I live there. Now, I mean, we had some fires this year, had some really bad fires. As bad as those fires were, LA didn't burn to the ground. Also, those fires weren't started by a protest. It was part of like a crazy weather event. You know, we had wild hurricane winds and really, really dry brush, and it made for a perfect storm. And once one fire started, it blew them all over the city. But It's a pretty fucking big city. It's really hard to burn the entire city of Los Angeles, which is actually just a collection of like different villages. It's really hard to burn it to the ground. And Black Lives Matter came nowhere even close to accomplishing burning Los Angeles to the ground. Maybe like a car was set on fire? Do you know how far off the mark you are when you say a city was burned to the ground? When what you mean is like a car burned to the ground. I was like, dog, I live in Los Angeles. Dog, I was just in Chicago. Dog, I have friends in Portland. Those cities remain. The people there remain. The buildings remain. The economy remains. Life there remains. What a fucking crazy thing to just continue saying. Change the wording. Change the wording to sometimes you guys light cars on fire. Okay, change it to that. But again, in order to be a member in good standing of this church, you have to be a liar. You can't say something that could be close to true. You have to make an insanely untrue claim and then just commit to it. A claim that's really easy to disprove and then just commit to it. Now we're back into this section of like, why? Why is it like this? Because if we actually play it to the end game of like what conservatives purport to want from society, you know, some kind of return to like traditional values or traditional normalcy, when what they mean is a specific, you know, status quo hierarchy that favors a patriarchal power structure where men are in charge, specifically white men, and a racial hierarchy where white people are in charge, where white people are allowed to have their own ethno state, where they're in power, where they get to subjugate any, you know, marginalized group they want, disabled people, queer people, people of color. And that's what they mean. And you look at that, those goals, and it's like, that's not even, that world isn't even good for most white people. It's a bad time. And we actually have, like, again, we can go and just look at the times where we were doing that and be like, yeah, that wasn't working. That was bad. Your job when you're alive right now is to be more progressive than the generation that came before you, and to know that at some point, progress is going to outpace you, and the ideals that you're fighting for are going to be old-fashioned, and there's going to be a new ideal of progress, and that's the only honest way forward. But they have to lie about the past and be like, oh man, I saw this post from a guy the other day who was like, I remember in the 70s and 80s, we didn't see color. What happened? What happened, man? When I was growing up, all we saw was human beings. We didn't see black, white, Asian, none of this. What happened to us? And I was like, bro, you're just lying. Again, whether to yourself or other people, you're just a liar. I think what's at the heart of all of it, and this is what's going to lead us into Zionism. What's at the heart of all of this truly is an adherence to religion. It's religion. That's what it is. At the very bottom of it, when I really try to unpack it and unspool it, like what motivates a person to justify in their brain all this lying, all this embarrassing, pathetic, ridiculous lying, pretending like Elon Musk didn't do a Nazi salute on stage, pretending like Donald Trump is cool and in shape, pretending like liberals burn cities to the ground when we can just look at the cities and go, no, they didn't. What motivates all of this? And at the end of the day, it's this sort of foundational lie that you were raised with, that if you tell these lies, you will be blessed. That there is a grand design, a higher mythical truth at play in the universe. And that truth is that there is an intelligent designer who created all of this for you. And he has communicated with certain people who have relayed his message to you. And his message is, do this work for me. Tell these lies for me, and I'll get your back. And it's a childish and silly lie to believe in. Similar to, you know, Joni, who was like, do I need to tell you guys about the Tooth Fairy? It's that silly. What it is it's a fear of letting go of that. Pretty much all of these people, universally, there aren't really atheists in their ranks. There aren't many, at least. All of them believe in some kind of deity. Most conservatives, most members of Trumpism believe in some kind of God of the Bible, some iteration from whatever sect they were raised in geographically, whatever the local church there's interpretation of the Bible is. That's what they were raised with, that, you know, characterization of the God character. But all of it, you know, like one that I left off here is XX and XY. You know, when we talk about Pride Month and stuff, like conservatives love to, when they get into talks about like gender diversity and why trans people aren't valid, they'll go, it's science, facts don't care about your feelings. And the facts are that there are two genders, XX and XY. There it is in the chromosomes. And you go, well, that's not what the data about chromosomes says. The data says that there are more than two. So where else do you want to go? And they go, it's anatomical. People are born with one of two anatomies. And if it were any, if there were meant to be any more, then we would see that in science. Well, we fucking do. We do see more than two anatomies. Okay. Well, it's hormonal. Men have testosterone and women have estrogen. Then why are you taking testosterone supplements? Dude, your testosterone levels shouldn't exist on a sliding scale. They shouldn't be spectral. They should exist in a fixed amount. You shouldn't have to supplement them. Other straight cisgender insecure men. What it comes down to is I need to tell these lies to somehow justify what I've been told about what the God story I was raised with tells me about queer identities. Doesn't matter what the data says. I need to rework my reality, willingly deceive myself and deceive others and lie to others to make that true. I need to figure out a way to make that true, even though it's very apparently not. Just in the world that I live in, if I'm being honest about what I'm experiencing and observing and what the data is telling me, it's telling me that gender diversity very clearly exists, that being all manner of that sexuality is on a spectrum and all different kinds of people along that spectrum exist. That's what I'm observing. That's what seems to be true. That's what's playing out. But I need to justify the reality that and it's really this stupid. The idea that there are two kinds of people. Because I have a book that has been interpreted for me that tells me I know exactly how the world was made, how the universe was made, how it came into being, why it came into being, what the process was. It was a series of days. And then I know that the creator created two beings. He created a man first because there is a hierarchical natural order of power here. And then out of the man's body, out of the man's rib, he created a woman. And there are only those two. And henceforth and forevermore, there are two kinds of people. There are two categories of people. There are men and there are women, and there are divinely inspired roles for them to fall into. There's a reason why men take up the majority of the Bible and why they're the majority of the named characters and the characters that are actually progressing the plot in a meaningful way, and the reason why women are taking a backseat role primarily in the Bible, outside of Eve, who kind of got the whole ball rolling. And it's because of these things. And because I am an adherent to this belief, I need to twist reality to justify that. It goes beyond Donald Trump. It's bigger than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is just kind of the latest figurehead of it. He's the latest symptom of it, but it's deeper than that. What is at play here is a fear of letting go of the belief that there is a divine intelligence that has your back. Don't worry, there is a God who has things under control, who will make sure that you are taken care of, and you don't really need to worry about the rest. And what this God is telling you, what the people who have taught you about this God are telling you, is that it's okay to lie on behalf of this belief system. It's okay to not tell the truth if you are doing it in service of making this belief feel like it has some veracity to it, like it has some truth to it. And everything kind of stems out from that. And that's when we get into Zionism. Zionism is a cult of deception that exists inside of Judaism. I need to be really, really clear when I talk about this. I am not calling Judaism or the plain fact of being Jewish, being born into a Jewish family and being of Jewish descent, I am not calling that reality a cult of deception. I am saying that within that subculture in humanity, that classification of person, there exists a cult of deception, and it is called Zionism, and it's a pernicious, evil ideology, and it's a problem. Judaism's kind of hard to nail down because, like, when I talk about this stuff, like, it's so much easier for me to start off with conservative Christianity, because conservative Christianity is largely made up of straight, cisgender, heteronormative, white people. They exist largely at the top of the societal power hierarchy and power structure, and it's a lot easier to criticize them without getting blowback for potentially being culturally insensitive to, you know, societal marginalization that somebody has experienced, because white people largely don't experience a lot of societal marginalization, at least not marginalization that isn't self-imposed. They do, you know, I think conservative people experience a lot of self-imposed oppression and self-imposed marginalization, but they don't experience systemic marginalization. The same way that, say, Jews have. That it is true that Jews are a globally marginalized and oppressed group that has experienced historical and present day marginalization, prejudice, hate, just on the basis of being born Jewish. So I need to make it really, really clear when I talk about this that that's not what I'm talking about. There are people in the world who dislike, distrust, and despise Jewish people on the plain basis of them being Jewish. They were just born into a Jewish family, into a Jewish tradition, and for that fact and that fact alone, these people despise them and distrust them and dislike them. That is not what I'm talking about here. And this is one of the foundational lies that Zionism tells, is that you cannot be critical of Zionism without being critical of Judaism. It's a fucking lie. And it's a really, really easy and demonstrable, it's just like all the other lies that I've told, that I've been talking about on this podcast. It's a really easy lie to disprove. It's a silly lie, right? It's so obvious that it's a lie. It's so obviously true that there are millions of Jews in the world who are not Zionists, who do not adhere to Zionist doctrine and Zionist indoctrination and ideology, who do not push Zionist talking points and Zionist propaganda. It's very true that there are a lot of Jews who are truth tellers, who are people who are honest and good people. I'm friends with many of them. I'm not trying to pull out the card of I have Jewish friends, therefore I can't be anti-Semitic. I'm saying it is not anti-Semitic to criticize Zionism. In fact, what I am saying, as a person who is comfortable telling the truth and believes in an ideology of truth telling, what I am saying is Zionism right now is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, proliferators of anti-Semitism in the world. The reason why there is a spike of anti-Semitism in the world right now is specifically because of the cult of deception that is Zionism.
I want to take a quick moment to clarify what I mean when I say this. Zionists regularly argue that you cannot criticize the ideology of Zionism. You cannot criticize the Israeli government or the Israeli military or their actions without being anti-Semitic, which means you cannot criticize genocide, child murder, or the starvation of an occupied population without being anti-Semitic, according to Zionists. So what Zionists are doing when they tell that lie is conflating Judaism with genocide, child murder, and the starvation of a occupied population. They are saying they are one and the same. They are saying that genocide and child murder are foundational Jewish characteristics and values. And telling that lie, making that bad faith conflation, contributes heavily to anti-Jewish sentiment and makes Jewish people less safe.
You will find it in the comments of this video. You will find it probably on this live stream. It is near impossible to criticize Zionism and the Zionist ideology on the internet without a gang of Zionists showing up in your comments to tell lies, to spread Zionist propaganda, to say, oh, I guess you hate Jews. I guess you must hate Jews. Didn't know you hated Jews. Didn't know you were like that. Didn't know you were down with the Nazis like that. No. It's just a lie. They will be in the comments of this video. Make no mistake, they will be there. They will be there going, what about 10-7? Oh, so I guess 10-7's just, I guess you just don't care about 10-7, huh? Wow. So you just don't care about 10-7. It's a lie. It's a lie. Anybody who's willing to speak up for the suffering, the human suffering, the humanitarian crisis, the genocide that is taking place in Gaza at the hands of the Israeli military, anyone who is willing to speak up for that is not saying that the events of October 7th, 2023 were justified or were okay or were moral. It's a lie. I've never said that. I've spoken about this. There are hours of videos of me talking about this on the internet, and never once have I said anything even close to rhetoric that even approaches the idea that October 7th was okay or that the bloodshed that day was moral or fair or deserved in any way. It's a lie. It's just a lie. And again, it's like, if I'm saying that, go find me saying it. If you're making the claim in my comments right now that that's what I'm saying, go find me fucking saying it. Because right now what I'm saying is absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. I never have said that. I never will say that. So you are lying. The Zionist cognitive dissonance around this 10-7 talking point that they love to just lead off with, no matter what the video is. You can show them a video of a little girl burning to death in her house. You can show them a video of children starving to death. You can show them videos of children screaming and crying because their entire families were murdered. Videos of hospitals being blown up. It doesn't matter what you're showing them. Empirical, objective evidence of the genocide that's being carried out. They will jump in the comments and go, 10-7. 10-7, though. Hamas, human shields, though. What's crazy, the cognitive dissonance at play here is Zionists seem to be saying that the events of October 7th justify any and all actions they could ever possibly take in retaliation upon the Palestinian people and upon the Gaza Strip, that there is no limit to the carnage that they can inflict on these people that would pay the debt owed by October 7th. There is no act too inhumane, too cruel to say, okay, I think that's it. I think we've hit back hard enough. There is no level at which their bloodlust will be satisfied. When they say this, when they say, what about 10-7? What they're saying is we get to do anything we want now because of that. Because that happened, we get to do anything we want. The obvious inverse of that logic is, well, then don't they get to hit back too? Like, does some other nation get to get involved and go, I don't like watching you guys commit genocide. We're going to fuck you up now. Does that get to happen? Is that, because that's the logic, right? But what it is no, we get to do it. Other people don't get to do it to us. But that's because Zionism is a cult of deception. And it is based around the exact same principles that the Trumpist cult of deception is. At the bottom of Zionism is an ideological adherence to a doctrine that says, if we do this, if we lie on behalf of our people, if we carry out these inhumane actions on behalf of our religion and our people and our gospel and our doctrine and our holy book, our God has our back. Our God justifies this genocide. Our God justifies the actions that we're carrying out. Again, this is not me talking about the whole of Judaism or anyone in Judaism. The thing about Judaism is, like, you're Jewish whether you're religious or not, right? Whether you're practicing or not, whether you go to temple or not, whether you regularly read the Torah or not, you're Jewish. If you're born into a Jewish family, you're Jewish. And even there are religious Jews, heavily religious Jews, who do not agree with the ideals of Zionism, with the ideology of Zionism, with the cult of deception that is Zionism. Jews who are religious, who believe that their religion calls them to be honest about what's happening, to tell the truth, and to call out the evil of what the IDF is currently perpetrating in Gaza. The other thing they'll say is they'll say war, not genocide. You bring up the word genocide, and you'll see them in my comments. There is no genocide. There's no genocide, just a war. Wars are messy. You know, war happens. Bad stuff happens in wars. But then I can just show you clip after clip after clip after clip of Israeli officials, of former members of the IDF, of current members of the IDF, of Israeli citizens, proudly, boldly. Once they're, you know, once they feel like the eyes of the world aren't watching, they will just, like, loudly and boldly and proudly go, like, oh no, fully, I want to get rid of every last living Palestinian. There are clips of Israeli streamers and content creators going, if I could push a button today and kill every last Palestinian, I would push that button without a second thought.
If you gave me a button to just erase Gaza, every single living being in Gaza would no longer be living tomorrow, I would press it in a second. I mean, I think most Israelis
probably
agree.
If that's the choice, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, even if it's not like right now.
Yeah, no.
I would press it right now.
Mm-hmm.
These people will go on the internet, they'll go on the news, they'll go on, you know, news organizations on Tel Aviv, national news, and they'll boldly say, children are our enemy. We need to eradicate all of the children in Gaza. And then they will, with a straight face, go, we're not committing a genocide. It's just a war. And you'll go, but I have you on tape saying that you are committing a genocide. I have you on tape doing that. We've got you on film committing the genocide actively. There are multiple international courts that study these kinds of things and that weigh in on these kinds of things that all have found unanimously that you are indeed committing genocidal acts. This has been, I mean, again, like, it's like, if you're going to make a claim, if I'm going to make a claim that Israel is committing a genocide, I better fucking be able to back it up, right? Okay, easy. Year and a half of nonstop videos and photos and eyewitness testimony. Not just from, you could say, oh, that's Hamas propaganda. It's Hamas propaganda. Not just from them. From independent journalists in the area. From doctors who were flown in to help people for humanitarian relief. Coming out of there and saying, yep, it's a genocide. Full blown. Everything that you're hearing is true. Independent international courts coming in to weigh in and just make sure that everything's being done above board and going, holy shit, no, it is not. It is a full-blown ethnic cleansing. And then on top of that, we've got your leaders on tape. We've got your soldiers on tape. We've got your citizens on tape. We've got everyone who belongs to the cult of Zionism on record saying, yes, we are doing a genocide. So yeah, I got my receipts. You're going to be in my comments claiming that I think 10/7 was okay. Show me a clip of me saying that ever, once. You're going to be in my comments saying, oh, it's a war, not a genocide. Cool. Why do all your leaders keep calling it a genocide then? Why does everyone who's been in the area say, no, it's a genocide? Why do all your soldiers say it's a genocide? Why are there so many people who have left the IDF and said the reason why I left is because they're one of the least moral armies in the world? At the end of the day, Zionism, much like Trumpism, much like flat eartherism, is made up of people who know they are lying and who exclusively deal in lies. And they believe that their end goal justifies the lies that they tell. And this is why I do skeptic call-in shows and things. This is why, after 8 years in recovery in a program that uses a lot of like religious, you know, like higher power and God talk, I'm still an atheist. Because I believe that it's the only honest approach to and you know, ethical approach to some kind of ideological framework in existence. Like, if you cannot give me a substantive reason to believe in the fairy tale you want me to believe in, and I'm seeing the fairy tale that you want me to believe in is wreaking all kinds of havoc all over the world, then I'm not going to believe in it. I'm not going to just deceive myself and lie to myself and say, it's more fun, it feels more comfortable to believe that God's got my back. If that's the claim you're making, you need to give me the receipts. You need to show me something. Because right now, the claim that you're making is causing a lot of damage. It's causing a lot of harm. People are killing each other. People are killing themselves because of these lies. And you justify them because you think in the end it'll work out for you. And I can't, you know, I personally can't justify it. So this brings us to the last section of the episode, which is, are there any times where being knowingly deceitful and telling lies can be a useful or necessary strategy as a means of revolution, as a means of resistance, as a means of procuring some kind of better progressive future? If you watch this podcast or you watch my YouTube channel, you know me. I'm a huge Andor fan. I think Andor is not only the best Star Wars thing that's ever existed in the Star Wars cinematic universe, but it's one of the best TV shows I've ever seen. And it's certainly one of the best TV shows about resisting fascistic regimes and what a revolution really looks like that I've ever seen. And, you know, one of the best characters in that show, obviously, is Luthen Rael, played by Stellan Skarsgård, played brilliantly. And Luthen Rael is such a great character because he's a revolutionary whose life is all deception. His life requires him to be a liar. In fact, and Luthen is self-aware of this. He says, I'm condemned to use the tools of my enemy to fight them. So he knows that he's fighting an enemy that is a cult of deception. He knows that the empire is it exists and subsists on lies. And in order to fight them, he's decided to get down in the muck with them and be a liar. And he lies and kills and steals and justifies all manner of unethical, immoral actions for the cause. And at the end of the day, what Luthen says is nothing is more important than the cause. Nothing can come before the cause. Not even my own conscience, not my own feeling about myself and my morality and my ethics. I am doing this to procure a better future. And there are definitely people on the left who are revolutionaries and activists who I think employ this strategy, who are willing to kind of fight dirty, and they're willing to tell lies, and they're willing to, you know, I mean, I talked about this ad nauseum during the election cycle. I think people were willing to lie on behalf of Jill Stein, to, you know, pretend that Jill Stein isn't a grifter, pretend that Jill Stein actually has the ability to do something substantive for the people of Gaza, pretend that's a viable option, that somehow voting for Jill Stein doesn't mean you're helping Donald Trump win. You're willing to lie in order to hasten on some kind of revolution. A lot of these people were accelerationists, which means that they believe that the only way to kind of fix what's gone wrong is to burn it all to the ground. And the fastest route to that is to reelect Donald Trump. But instead of just voting for Donald Trump, they pretend that they're doing something revolutionary by voting third party and advocating for third party votes, when really what they're trying to do is hasten on the acceleration of the, you know, the revolution. And they're not willing to be honest about that. They're lying about their strategy because they believe it's justified in the end. This is, you know, somebody said to me the other day, no one's ever going to take you seriously if you're not equally critical of the left and right. And I pointed out that the reason why I'm not equally critical of the left and right is because the left and right are nowhere near equally weighted when it comes to the harm that they do and the existential threat that they pose to humanity and to civilization and to society. The right is significantly more dangerous, significantly more harmful, significantly more dishonest than the left. But one thing I've been consistent about for years now is that the left's biggest problem, and this is another great storyline on Andor, is our inability to get on the same page strategically. Because we are such an ideologically diverse coalition, and we're so much more ideologically diverse than the right is, we have a lot of different philosophies and ideas about different approaches of how to resist, how to fight, how to push back against fascism. The reason why the rebellion in Star Wars is called the Rebel Alliance, we find out in Andor, is because it was actually several different warring factions of people having their own independent rebellions that had to align themselves and ally themselves with each other in order to fight the Empire. And I believe that. I believe that ultimately we have to come together. And I personally believe that the only way that we can come together is under the banner of truth. My personal philosophy is I just won't lie to further my political goals or my political agenda. I won't do it. I don't believe in using the tactics of my oppressor to fight them. I don't believe in stooping to their, I don't believe that like one wrong justifies another. I think really quickly you get into the same philosophical gray area of being a Zionist and being like, well, if Hamas can attack us, we can attack them.
Another quick clarification here. The reason why I don't believe in using the tools of my oppressor to resist them is because once you open up that door, once you say, well, they lie, so I can lie, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from, well, they kill, so I can kill. We see all of these anti-Semitic killings that have been happening in the United States in the last few weeks, and that's the reason why I don't open that door. Because once you say, well, they did it, so I can do it too, it's a game of infinite escalation where both sides are saying, well, they did it, so I can do it too. And it never ends. Somebody has to put a stop to it. Somebody has to say, no, killing is not right. Violence is not right. Solving our ideological dispute through violence is not the way to go. I made a post about this, about the cults of deception, on my TikTok, and I had people in my audience saying, well, telling the truth hasn't gotten us anywhere so far, Austin. Why don't we just start lying? And I said, no, you can't fight fire with fire. You have to fight fire with the antithesis of fire. You have to fight lies and deception and violence with the antithesis of lies and deception and violence. In the debate over whether or not the earth is flat, somebody needs to stick up for the reality that the earth is an oblate spheroid.
You can't just say, well, we've been trying to explain to them that the Earth is an oblate spheroid and they haven't been getting it, so maybe we should just start saying that the Earth is diamond-shaped. If we just start lying, if we just start being just as violent as our oppressors and lying just as often because we decide that our ends justifies those means, then we are functionally no different. And the people caught in the middle will have no way to tell us apart. The way to be able to tell that you are on the right side of history, that you are doing the right thing, is to be a truth teller when everyone else is lying. I believe that at the end of the day, to be a meaningful movement, a meaningful resistance, we have to be truth tellers. In order to resist the absurd, ridiculous cults of deception that exist all around us, we have to be fiercely committed to the truth. Even when the truth is inconvenient, even when the truth isn't really, maybe it looks like the truth isn't helping us, you know? I had recently, you know, when Brett Cooper had that clip of her on Fox News with Laura Trump saying,
is it cool now to be a Republican?
Oh, for sure.
I can't think of anything less cool than going on the news and having like a staged interview where they ask me, is it cool to be a progressive? And I go, oh yeah, for sure. It's very cool. I can't think of anything less cool than that. And I was just sort of laughing at it. And a few people in my comments were like, you can laugh all you want, you can dismiss it all you want, but we're getting killed with young men right now and dismissing them isn't helping. Hey, you might have a point right now, that right now we are losing favor with young men. My personal audience has never been really strong with men or young men. Like, my audience has always been pretty heavily femme presenting. My audience is always, on all my platforms, has always been pretty like, it's like 67% femme presenting people. And I think most of the men in my audience are like older, smarter men. And I don't have a lot of young men in my audience. And people are like, well, how are you going to fix that, Austin? And I've never purported to know the solution. I've never purported to like have the antidote to like, it's never really been my claim that I know how to get through to young men. And I agree that we do need to figure it out. But what I told these people is, I won't lie. I'm not going to pretend that like, it's cool to be centrist and like, it's cool to like, you know, like, nah, you know, there's good people and bad people on both sides, dude. I don't know. Politics is lame. We should just talk about the latest UFC fight. Like, I'm not going to misrepresent reality to pander to them in hopes of like manipulating them into my view. My personal philosophy is that the truth will set us free. That at the end of the day, I can sleep easy at night because I don't align myself with an ideology that requires me to lie. When I make a video on the internet, when I make an episode of my podcast, I don't feel pressured to misrepresent reality, to misrepresent data, to misrepresent statistics on behalf of like trying to convince some stubborn demographic to slide over to my perspective. I believe at the end of the day that steady, solid, resilient, determined truth-telling will be a winning strategy. It doesn't mean I'm never going to misspeak. It doesn't mean I'm never going to make a mistake. It doesn't mean I'm never going to say something that later I'll regret. I'm just doing my best in the present to be as honest as I possibly can be, because I do believe that ultimately that is an ideal worth aspiring to. Okay. That's my spiel on cults of deception. Let's go over to our TikTok Digital Studio audience. TikTok Digital Studio audience, you guys have been having a nice lively chat amongst yourselves. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the show? Do you have any questions, any comments, any thoughts that you'd like to add? Melee Ethos Warzone underscore Warzone says, Charlie Kirk dated a distant cousin in high school. Charlie Kirk's another person who it's like, you know, he obviously is a priest in the Church of Deception, the cult of deception that is Trumpism. And Charlie Kirk is like, he's a person that he professionally goes around debating people. So you know when he peddles his lies that he's heard the truthful rejoinder to that lie before. Like when Charlie Kirk goes and tells someone, you know, the data-driven, substantive, scientific reason for whatever bigotry he's peddling, you know that Charlie Kirk has heard Charlie Kirk's like a flat earther who goes around professionally debating that the earth is flat, and you know that people have told Charlie Kirk, then go to the fucking edge of the earth, dude. Then go show us. Go prove it. and he continues to peddle the lie anyway. It's really, truly pathetic. And that's also one of the big reasons why I'm like, I just won't do it. I won't be a liar, not knowingly. I might say, like I said, I might misspeak from time to time. I might report things that I later find out, whoops, I was wrong about that. But I'm going to do my best to own it when I do that. Other thoughts from the TikTok Digital Studio audience. Anima has asked, who should lead the left? Hashtag diversity is complex. I don't have the answer to that question. Again, you know, like when people ask questions that I don't know the answer to, my honest answer is I don't know. It behooves me and it falls on me to be honest and say, I don't know. And I don't purport to know. I don't purport to know what the solution is for uniting the left and for leading the left in a meaningful way. I do feel like the best way to get the most possible people on your team is to tell the truth. Like, I had a lot of friends after the 2024 election who were protest voters or third party voters, people who either abstained or voted for Jill Stein or somebody else, Cornel West or someone like that, who told me, well, your strategy lost too. Like, your strategy lost just as much as mine lost. And I was like, well, no, it didn't. My strategy was like 98% of the way to victory. My strategy was significantly closer to working than your strategy was. Your strategy wasn't even in the, like, your strategy wasn't even in the game. Your strategy didn't have a prayer in hell. It's dishonest to pretend like our strategies were equally ill-fated or equally illogical. I don't know if the answer is a who. What I would like the answer to be is the truth. And that's sort of the theme of this podcast, right? I would like the best ideas and the most honest ideas to win out. I would like people who have the most proven demonstrable integrity to win out. I would like integrity to be the leader of the left. Miraculous Muncie asks, people who won't accept the truth simply because it doesn't suit them, what do we do with them? Part of being a member of a cult of deception, in order to be a part of that group, it means fundamentally that you cannot accept truth. So when someone tells you something that's true, you are kind of foundationally required to reject it. You can show a Zionist a clip of a prominent Israeli official boldly being like, yeah, genocide. 100% genocide. That's what we're doing. That's what we've always been doing. You can show them clips of Israeli military leaders being like, yeah, 100% genocide. And they will just look you straight in the face and be like, nope. Or they'll say like, that's just one guy. That's just one crazy guy. And it's like, yeah, I know that there are people in Israel who don't support the genocide. I know that they exist, but who are you? Which one are you? In order to accept something that is true, they need to be willing to leave their cult. And that's a really hard thing for a lot of people to do. There's a lot of like familial and cultural pressure to like, if a person is raised in a Zionist family and they decide they want to start being honest about what Zionism actually is, why it's so harmful, why it is this problem that exists inside of Judaism, why it's harmful for Jewish people, why that they don't want to be Zionist because it actively is dangerous for Jewish people. It's a cult inside of Judaism that puts Jewish people in harm's way. It might mean separation from their family, separation from their loved ones and their friends, and they don't know if there's going to be a support net there to catch them. So your question is, what can we do with those people? And my answer is, again, be persistent and consistent with the truth and be willing to have a road toward rehabilitation and reconciliation for those people if they ever do choose that they're going to take the plunge. I think that is another problem that we have on the left, is we preach the idea of, you know, restorative justice, rehabilitative justice, reconciliatory justice, and we don't do a great job of practicing it. And myself included, I'm a part of this problem too, that like when someone who has spent years peddling harmful lies decides finally that they're willing to be honest, I'm not chomping at the bit to be like, oh, cool, welcome. Welcome home. Welcome to the team. I'm kind of like, cool, thank you for being honest. Now fuck off. I do think that there's some of that. I think that like some of that's valid that we need to be like, yeah, you're not going to like become a leader on this team just because you grew a conscience in the last couple days. But I do think that we could be better in practice as a movement, as a resistance, at saying, if you are, if and when you are ready to let go of those lies, we have a pathway here. We have a process for you to restore your humanity and to rejoin the side of honesty and truth and progress. But it's probably not like fast, and it might be kind of painful, and it might be kind of hard, but we need to be better at having avenues for people to make it known to Zionists and to Trumpists and even to flat earthers to a certain degree, to make it known to them that like you can regain your life. You can regain your dignity. You can regain your integrity. It won't be easy, but we will have some sort of avenue for you to be able to do that. It doesn't mean that all of the harm that they caused is now null and void and doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that the people that they hurt are no longer hurt. It doesn't mean that the things that they did are now okay. That's not what that means. That's not what restorative justice means. It means that we're allowing, we're offering people the opportunity to reclaim their humanity. And if we don't have that, if we're not willing to offer that, then like, what are we doing? If we're actually telling people who are part of these cults of deceptions, there is no way for you to ever come back from this, then what incentive are we offering them to ever be willing to be self-reflective and to ever consider honesty, you know? Peter Corliss says, it's all projection. I think, yeah, there definitely is some of that, but I think I'm kind of onto something here with the topic of today's show, which is, I think it goes deeper than projection. I think it's willful deception. It's just saying, I'm going to accuse you of doing all of the bad things that I do, which is projection. That is psychological projection. But usually when someone's projecting, they don't realize they're doing it. And I actually think a lot of these people do know they're doing it. Fixing Good 23 asks, seriously, how do you convince a white supremacist not to be racist? There are lots of stories of people who are fully avowed white supremacists who came around to realizing that they were wrong. I don't think that there's any like one surefire trick to it. I think the individual has to be fed up with the deception. Kind of like, you know, I talk about recovery a lot on my podcast, and like, I have no surefire way to get an addict to stop taking their drug of choice. There is no like locked in surefire way to be like, this will guarantee that you will stop doing that drug. I can't do that. The individual has to be done. At some point, the individual has to say, that's enough. I'm done. And nobody can really choose that for them. But anytime a white supremacist is going to come around to an anti-racist and repentant worldview, it's going to have to be because that person has had enough of the bullshit. I think the only way that you can like feed into a world where a person can be tired of bullshit is to be a truth teller. Like, you need to be able to provide the opposite and be like, over here, we don't need to pretend the world is other than what it is in order to get by. Over here, we can be honest about data and statistics. We don't need to pretend that people, that the value of a person is determined by how much melanin is in their skin over here. We don't need to tell stupid, silly lies like that. And if you just keep hammering home and insisting upon, you know, an integrous worldview and ideology and message, I think there are people who are going to crave that. Again, going back to recovery, like the program that I'm a part of, we always say we preach attraction rather than promotion, that we don't go around trying to get new people to join our program. Like, it's AA, I'll just say what it is, but we don't, as an AA, I don't go around like knocking on doors and being like, hey, you want to join AA? Like, we don't do that. AA has been around for about 100 years, and it literally subsists on people just knowing it's out there. They just know it's an option. So if people are struggling with addiction, they've just heard, oh, I've heard that that's a useful program for people who are struggling, and they might decide to come check it out, and we're there if they want to. What I tell people, what I tell newcomers when they like, when friends call me up and go, hey, I'm struggling with drinking. What did you do? And I go, I'll tell you what I did. You don't have to do what I did. I don't claim a monopoly on it. This is what worked for me. I tried lots of different things. They didn't work. This one worked. That doesn't mean that this is the only thing that's going to work for you. That was just my experience. You can take it or leave it. Take or leave my advice. Doesn't matter. It's up to you. It's your own journey. And they know I'm there. They know that organization is there. They know that by all accounts, if you do it, it seems to work for most people. And they can take it or leave it. And I think that's how this has to work too. This kind of movement, this resistance is like, we're here, we're telling the truth about things, we're being, you know, we're accurately reporting on world events and existential threats, and anyone who wants to be part of the team can come and get it if they want it. Yeah, whatever just said, the problem with AA is the higher power BS. I'm a public atheist. I co-host atheist call-in shows all the time and debate theists on theology. A major theme of today's podcast is why the reason why I'm an atheist is because I believe that theology foundationally is kind of the birthplace of a lot of these cults of deception. It's the thing that allows people to justify the lies that they tell and the harm that they do in the world. And I'm a member of AA, and it does bum me out, all of the misinformation that's out in the world. It's misinformation that kept me from getting sober sooner than I did. For years, I listened to all these atheist podcasts, and they would all talk about exactly what whatever just said, like, oh, all the higher power BS, and like, oh, they force their religious views on you. And so I wanted any solution that wasn't that one. I wanted a secular solution. And I finally stumbled, you know, into AA. Unwilling, I was like not happy to be there. I wanted the solution to be anything other than that. And what I found I've been there for 8 years now. And what I found is no one gives a shit if I'm an atheist. No one cares. No one in 8 years has ever asked me to justify my faith to them or to explain which God I believe in or if I believe in a God at all in order to remain a member of the group. The group's literature is incredibly clear, if you actually know anything about it, that people get to define what that word means, higher power or God. They get to define it however they want. It's totally open to your own subjective interpretation. There is nothing in the program that requires you to believe in any specific deity. It's just a misnomer that's out there in the world. And, you know, it bothers me when I see it, but I'm also like not here to be a missionary for AA. There's plenty of room for agnostics and skeptics and atheists in the halls of AA. I promise you. Yeah, whatever says, that's good to hear. I always assumed it was a way for religion to take advantage of people. Yeah, most people think that it's a way to like take advantage of vulnerable people and like, you know, manipulate them or con them into a religious worldview. And I'm not going to like sit here and say that like that's not in there. There are definitely people like my fellows in the program who have a much more religious approach to it than I do. It's just that the program allows them to do that. The same way that it allows me to have a secular atheistic approach to it, it allows them to have a theistic approach to it if they so choose. That's, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier about like Christianity and Judaism, like when I talk about problems within these organizations, even if I'm talking about like Islam, problems inside of these theologies, I'm not saying inherently being Islamic or Muslim is bad. That like I'm skeptical of people just on those merits, or inherently being Christian is bad. What I'm saying is that typically those beliefs come with strings attached and they come with baggage. That like when I meet a person who tells me that they're Christian, I'm totally fine with you being a Christian. I'm totally fine with you believing in the God of the Bible. But I am going to want to know, how are you with queer people? Where are you at with that? How are you with women? Where do you think women should be in society? What do you think the societal hierarchical power structure should be? And if we start bumping on queer people and queer identities, we're going to have a problem. Like, I think that's a real problem that exists in most major religions. And it's not that the belief itself is a problem. It's that the strings that come, I think it's the dogma around the belief, that it's like interpretations of the holy texts and things like that that get people into trouble. Desire Lauren says, because Al-Anon in the South was heavy on the God stuff. Yeah, depending on where you are, you're going to find more or less of it. I do AA in LA and New York. Like, I got sober in New York, and then I'm now living in LA, and like we have a much more like secular, humanitarian, universalist approach to things, where we're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But like, obviously there's going to be geographical regions that are going to go heavier on the God stuff. But again, I think it's pretty clear in the literature of the organization that nobody is supposed to be telling you what the word God means to you. And if anybody is doing that, I don't think that they're practicing the program the way that it's outlined to be practiced. But that's just my two cents on that. Deja Untold You So says, I wish it was like that here with AA. They all demand God from you. Yeah, anywhere that you go to an AA meeting and they demand not only a belief in God, like a magical deity, but a belief in a specific God, my assessment of the literature is that they are doing AA wrong. And I believe that I'm correct in that assessment. I believe, and I think I'm living proof that I'm correct in that assessment, that like, no, you do not need to believe in God in order for that program to work for you, in order for you to get long-term sobriety in that program, in order for you to figure out a modality of living that makes you a more useful and vibrant person, a happier person, a person who has a higher self-esteem and a higher sense of self-love. It does not require a belief in God. Like I said, I am living proof of that, and I know plenty of other atheists in the program who are also living proof of that. It works regardless of it. Anybody who's telling you that it won't work doesn't fucking know, and they're lying, and they're also not practicing the program correctly, and there's nothing in the literature that justifies them telling you that. They are just projecting their own process and interpretation of the program onto you, but you are not required to work anybody else's program. Peter Corliss says, I am most alarmed by the mental wellness of the right. Narcissism, sociopathy, abusiveness, etc. Yeah, again, when you have decided to be all in on a cult of deception, the topic of this show, I don't think that it's going to breed a healthy, you know, mental state. We were talking a lot about addiction. Part of what makes active addiction so mentally taxing is it kind of requires a lot of deception. I just lie so much less now as a sober person than I did when I was drinking. And it's just sort of day-to-day lies that you get really used to. Like, I just, you know, like, I just knew that I drank more than most of my friends drank. And so I would just do things like, I'd make sure I always drank before I met up with people. And then I would do things like, I would sneak drinks when they would go to the bathroom. I would, like, quickly order, like, another couple shots. And then I would do things like, you know, kind of like convince them to go harder than they wanted to go because I said like, oh, I have the day off tomorrow, even if that wasn't, you know, like there's just constant lies that you tell to other people and that you tell to yourself, telling yourself I've got this under control, even though you very clearly don't. You're like working really hard to manage this very unmanageable situation. Telling yourself that like you're not like a problem user when you're like constantly driving under the influence and putting yourself and other people in harm's way. There's a lot of deception, a lot of self-deception, and self-deception leads to a low self-esteem. Like being a liar, just like lying to everyone in your life and not really being useful and not like showing up and helping people leads to a low self-image, right? Because you know who you are and you're like, I'm a fucking liar. I'm a guy who lies to everybody. And like, I stole shit and I just didn't have very strong values when I was using, and it results in poor mental health. My mental health has been significantly improved in my 30s as a sober person from what it was in my 20s. Sometimes as an act of self-preservation, ego self-preservation, you can develop narcissistic tendencies and sociopathic tendencies to sort of block yourself off from feeling the amount of harm that you're perpetrating on the world. And so, you know, being a person who is part of an ideology that requires you to be a liar is going to result in you being a person who enacts a lot of harm on a lot of people. And part of coping with that is going to be like building up mental defense systems that actually are mental illnesses that shield you from feeling the full weight of the harm that you're causing. Hot Opinion says, what's the worst argument for God and why is it presuppositional apologetics? That's not just the worst argument for God, it's the only argument for God. The only argument for God currently that we have is presuppositional apologetics. That is the only thing that exists. Everything is predicated on things that you presuppose. If you presuppose that God designed the world, then it makes sense that he would have designed it in this specific way with these specific, you know, when people get into the fine tuning aspect, if you presuppose that there was a designer, then it makes sense that the designer would create, you know, if you presuppose that our mortal existence is a test for the afterlife, then it would make sense that sometimes you would go through hard times, and if you can persevere through the hard times, that there would be good times on the other side of that. Everything is presupposed. There is no substantive data-based evidence for the existence of God. It is just it's a fairy tale that people have been passing down since the beginning of written language. It's just a story that human beings tell to make sense of their existence, but there is no substantive data-driven explanation for it. So presuppositional apologetics is not the worst argument for God. It is the only argument for God. The only way you can make an argument for God is to presuppose everything and then apologize or explain away all of the things that in reality that don't support the assertions that you are presupposing. Okay, I think that's it. I'm having a family party now upstairs and my family is showing up, so I gotta go do that. Thank you to the TikTok studio audience for all of your wonderful feedback and for such a lively conversation. If you would like to see the full unedited version of this video, you can go to my Patreon, patreon.com/AustinArcher. It includes the entirety of the TikTok talkback portion. It was a really good one today. I'm gonna include a few of them in the YouTube edit, but if you wanna see the full unedited version, go over to patreon.com/AustinArcher. You can just go over there too if you just want to support this show. If you just think this is valuable work, if you want to support the resistance, the team of no lies, the honesty team, you can do that over at patreon.com/AustinArcher for a low monthly fee. You can be a producer on this show that helps me keep moving forward. Shout out to all of my Patreon patrons. You are the wind beneath my wings. I love you all very much. You're incredible people, incredibly generous, and you're helping me continue this work, so thank you. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by searching Austin Archer on streaming platforms or going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com, all linked in the description. Check out those links. Fun links, ways to support the show, ways to support indie music. Okay, that's it. We'll see you next time. Until then, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and... be good. Bye-bye.